Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friend, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Countout, the premier top wrestling countdown show. Only available here at youtube.com/Steve Larson and wherever podcasts are available.
Correct.
Yeah. Countout.
Countout.
I don't have like a proper intro to this particular show.
Oh, you mean that you say?
The shit that I rambled at the beginning. Yeah. I'll figure that out, though.
I mean, I think just, hey, hi.
No.
Steve here and Larson. Welcome
to
Countout.
Something.
10.
Say,
you want
10.
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I want
10.
10. Exactly. Count. Yeah.
10.
Anyways, with TLC coming up tomorrow, if you're watching this on the day that it's going live.
If not, TLC probably already happened.
Exactly.
Or is about to happen.
Whenever you're watching this, TLC is around now. AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose are facing off in the main event in a TLC match. And then down the card, there's all sorts of other stuff going on. But that's the TLC match everybody's going to be looking at. So we figured we'd count down the 10 best TLC matches in the history of WWE. These are, you mentioned this off camera, these are, by and large, kind of like the match itself isn't as iconic as Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I mean, and we both individually and together, we've watched or rewatched a lot of these matches
to
build this list.
Yeah.
And you notice that by and large, these matches, you know, granted, there's only so many spots you can do with a table, a ladder, and some chairs.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, you know, there'll be tables or multiple tables set out on the outside of the ring. Someone be at the top of the ladder. Ladder gets pushed over going through the tables.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trope of a TLC
match.
Yeah. As is someone doing a high-risk maneuver off the top of the ladder.
Well, the one that always bugs the shit out of me is where they're on the ladder, somebody pushes the ladder over, and then they land on their balls.
Yeah.
That always bugs me.
That happens fairly often, too.
That happens on almost everyone. Same with ladder matches in general, that happens.
Maybe that's the list we should have done. Top 10 TLC tropes.
There you go. But anyways, there's been 19 in the history.
The one on Sunday will be the 19th.
So there's been 18. So we can't really do like a best and worst. In fact, some of the ones on this top 10 list, They're good. They're all good matches. They're all solid matches.
Yeah, by and large, yeah.
But there's not enough to say, oh, this one's exceptionally crappy. I'm sure there's some exceptionally crappy ones.
There is one with, it took place between The Miz and Jerry Lawler.
That sounds horrible. We can do like a book of the match on that one.
Just
like bad match.
Yeah.
Top bad match.
There you go.
In TLC history. But anyway, so here's 10 of what we think are the best ones. Remember to go ahead and dump your comments in and let us know what TLC matches you thought were the best ones.
Yeah.
Because YouTube likes the comment stuff now, apparently. Be sure to smash that like button. That's what everybody's talking about. Ooh, triggered. Anyways, number 10.
10.
Sheamus versus...
10.
10. Sheamus versus Roman Reigns at TLC 2015. This just happened last year.
I believe we watched this pay-per-view probably out in that room out there.
Yeah, I think so.
I kind of remember that.
Who would have thought Roman Reigns and Sheamus, they put on a really good match.
Yeah.
Like, I actually think this deserves to be a little bit further up in the line, to be honest with you.
All right, well, say a different number and I'll be that number now.
No, whatever.
Okay. Let's
just, look,
okay.
These are 10 really, really good TLC matches. The top of the list is probably correct in terms of like how.
Like the top three.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the Roman Reigns experiment at its most successful was this match.
So a little backstory. Seth Rollins got hurt.
Yeah.
Beginning of November 2015, blew out his knee at a house show.
Yeah.
So they held a tournament to determine a new world champion.
Yes.
The culmination of that tournament took place at Survivor Series, mm-hmm. November 2015. Finals, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Roman won that match.
Yeah.
In the midst of a celebration,
Sheamus comes down.
Cashes in his Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah.
Wins the belt.
Yeah. And then they start this whole, because Roman had the belt for 5 minutes and 15 seconds.
So Sheamus made shirts that said Sheamus 515.
I like what you just said. I like that Sheamus made those shirts.
Yeah, he did himself.
He did it all himself.
You got the pro wrestling tees.
Exactly. He's like,
speaking of which, we have a pro wrestling tee shop.
ProWrestlingTees.com/goinginraw. Go check those out. So number one, these guys put on a really, really good show. Like, Sheamus was like, and Sheamus, you can always tell extra when he's like, you know, got when he's beat up because he's pale that everything just stands out.
Yeah.
But Sheamus was like bleeding from his arm, and Roman was selling things. And it was just a really, really cool, brutal match. We got some interference at the end by the League of Nations. It was Alberto Del Rio and Rusev. I don't remember seeing Wade Barrett out there, but then I probably wouldn't if he did come out there because he was kind of a non-entity. But the crowd was into this. The crowd was into this. Like, this was proof positive that if you put on a... Like, you two, you have Sheamus, who's not very popular. You have Roman Reigns, who everybody was tired of.
What was I saying in the months leading up to this match? The best way to get Roman Reigns over?
Mm-hmm. Do Sheamus. Yeah,
have him feud with Sheamus.
You called that exactly right. But more than just it being Sheamus was, these two can take a beating. They can dole out punishment.
Yeah, they're both very physical wrestlers.
Yes, exactly. And so a lot of this was really stiff, brutal stuff. And there was a lot of really cool sort of moments and bits and pieces here. Sheamus ended up going over thanks to the League of Nations and a bro kick and ended up winning the match.
Yeah.
Triple H comes down to check on Sheamus because he was sort of his guy.
Yeah.
And Roman Reigns, to the delight of everybody, and finally, the way he should have been booked, was he destroyed Triple H.
It almost felt awkward. It was uncomfortable watching it because he beat him so much.
He beat him up so much. First thing that he did, like, Triple H is down in the corner checking on Sheamus, and Roman Reigns is over there, and Roman Reigns backs off, but then, and you could tell, like, he was... It wasn't great acting, but it was acting because he was telegraphing his thoughts on his face. Yeah. It was very not subtle. And he looks down. There's a chair right there, and the crowd starts egging him on, and he picks up the chair, and he just starts destroying Triple H. The crowd starts chanting, "Thank you, Roman." Roman walks away. The crowd chants more for him.
Yeah.
He comes back and, like, spears him through something. It was brutal.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, my God, this is what he should have been the whole time.
Yep.
None of this... coming out reading these scripted scripts or these written scripts that were for him that allegedly were coming directly from Vince.
Yeah.
None of the, like, the clever quips. It was just him being a quiet badass destroying things. And that's what people have always wanted from Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
This was the one moment. And there was, I think there was this period of time because wasn't it the next night on Raw?
According to Scoop's notes, the next night on Raw, Roman won the belt.
Yeah. And again, the crowd was hot because these two put on a really good match.
Yeah.
And we all thought, was that the one? Was Vince the special guest or Vince just came down? I think Vince might have been like sort of, he just sort of came
down.
Vince came down.
It was the next week, the rematch they had on Raw.
Okay,
Where Vince was the guest referee.
And then Vince said, "You're going to defend it in the Rumble."
Yeah.
But yeah, and so the next night is when he Superman punched, I think, Vince. Because Vince was like on the ropes or something.
Yeah, he got on the apron.
Yeah, and so this was a really fun match. It was a really brutal match, and the crowd were into it because these guys were putting on such a well booked, very physical matchup.
Yes.
When wrestling is best when it really comes off like a fight.
Yes,
like a fight.
And this match is proof positive
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we have our qualms with how creative has booked Roman, and, you know, we've been critical of Roman's selling ability.
Yeah.
But matches like this, his matches against AJ Styles,
mm-hmm.
several other matches, proves that Roman can go.
Roman can go.
He can.
He absolutely can go. It's funny, Scoops has a little note here. We don't always agree with Scoops, but I always love his opinion. We always tell him, "Steven, put your shit in here." And he says, "Seriously, though, spearing him after they've helped him up from the table, meaning Triple H, this should have been the beginning of an awesome heel Reigns." And although I would always love to see a heel Reigns, I don't think that'd be necessary.
Yeah.
He's just, he needs to be on the lookout for him. If you're cheating, it's one thing. If you're just in it for your own interests, if you just want what's rightfully yours in the name of, like, justice for yourself,
yeah,
then that's not being a heel. That's like taking the matters in your own hand and
grabbing
the brass ring, if you will.
Yeah.
So anyways, that was a really good match. Number
nine.
CM Punk versus Alberto Del Rio versus The Miz at TLC 2011. Everybody's out there, The Miz. What, The Miz isn't a good TLC match? This was a fun match. This is like sort of the main... I always like to talk about CM Punk when he was at his best.
And this is that period.
This is that period when he was hot. That crowd was so into
CM
Punk.
This is 6 months removed from Money in the Bank.
Right.
When he became the hottest name in the wrestling business.
And he bitched about not having ice cream bars. And so this is the poster with him and the ice cream bar. They were packaging this Punk era so perfectly. Everything was so great about this. And surprisingly, this is a really, really fun match. If you guys go back and take a look at TLC 2011, this is a really fun match because it's kind of, there's a lot of sort of gimmicky stuff going. Not too much, though. Like Alberto Del Rio, Ricardo Rodriguez was still Alberto Del Rio's guy, his announcer.
Yeah.
But Alberto was like sort of shitting on him. Like he was out there to announce, but he had like stains of stuff. And I think Alberto had like thrown some shit on him.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
He was just treating him like a jerk. And so anyways, there was a great spot where he comes in when Punk early on is climbing up to get the belt, and he handcuffs him to the ladder, and Punk doesn't know what to do about that, and so they play a lot with those handcuffs because later on, you know, he gets out of that. Later on, the Miz ends up handcuffing him to like the corner, and the Miz just sort of stands there like a jerk while Punk is trying to hit him, and he's just sort of preening in his face.
Yeah,
and it's just. It wasn't overbooking. It wasn't boring. It was just enough, and Punk did everything just perfectly to carry The Miz to an entertaining match.
Yeah.
And The Miz is just, I mean, he had the faux hawk at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just Miz trying to. These days, there's such a difference in 6 years because these days.
Well, this is post world title reign
right,
Miz.
Right.
Whereas this was before. This is before his face turn with Flair, right?
Yeah, it was before.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
He was still trying to find his way.
He was still doing that, and they still didn't really know what to do with him. Like, this was like, you know, Punk had thoroughly taken over.
Yeah.
And so Miz was completely... I was even surprised to see, oh, yeah, he was in this title picture? That's odd. Number eight.
Eight.
Edge versus Ric Flair.
This is from a Raw in January of 2006, shortly after Edge captured his first world title. Cashing in Money in the Bank.
After watching this again, this probably should have been in my opinion, this would be way further up the list.
Yeah.
Because goddamn, this was a good match.
Yeah.
And baby Charlotte was in the crowd.
Yeah.
Like a teenage Ashley Flair.
Yep.
Charlotte, she's there and they like spotlight her like pretty prominently because she's like helping to tell the story.
Yeah.
She's in the front row with like the rest of her family.
She's screaming, "Get up, Dad."
Flair was the Intercontinental title holder.
Yeah.
As you said, this was 1 week removed from Edge.
Cashing in at that pay-per-view that Sunday. Next night on Raw.
Cena to get his first title. The next night was the live sex show, which apparently had been interrupted by Flair, I think. And then, which I don't remember that part. I just remember the live sex part. And then this week, he gets in the ring with Lita, and they're a great heel couple. They're so amazing. And Lita's boobs are like everywhere.
Yeah.
And Edge, at the very end of his pre, he's cutting a promo on Flair, and he says, "But now I'm going to have Lita finish me off." So evidently we're going to see a cum shot. And he says, "Somebody get me a chair." And I'm like, why is a chair absolutely necessary for her to finish you? Like, you couldn't do it standing up.
I mean, he just wants to sit and be comfortable.
Laying down. A steel chair during a sex act is not, I wouldn't think, it was comfortable. I can't remember if I've done it or not, but I'm not going to say it here on the air anyways. I just wouldn't think, like, it's just, because the funny thing is when he said, "Somebody get me a chair," both Joey Styles, who was a commentator, and Jerry Lawler, who I think Jerry Lawler probably knows his way around sex acts. He's, you know, he's a god in Memphis.
Oh, I know.
Probably gets so much, man, are you kidding me? Back in the day anyways, I think he's got that girlfriend now. They both say, "What?" So even they're confused. Joey Styles is a nerd. I don't think he knows a lot about that stuff. But Jerry Lawler, if it was something that he would be like, "Oh, yeah, interesting, a chair. All right, I know where you're going with that." But no, it was like
even he was confused by it.
Even he was confused by it. So, anyways,
also one that we should mention on the week prior, Edge hit Flair with a chair.
Yeah.
While Flair was prone on the announce table.
Yeah.
Giving him a concussion, at least kayfabe concussion.
With the concerto, yeah.
And Flair had like a huge gash or cut that was bandaged over his head.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. Flair comes to the ring with a giant Band-Aid on his head.
I know.
So I'm like, oh, that's already bleeding under there.
Well, you know, Flair just bleeds.
Flair bleeds.
Easily.
Just like you. And he'd bleed.
Yeah, it's just red.
Immediately.
All in his hair.
And man, oh man.
bled a lot.
You bled a lot in this match.
You know, it's a lot of blood when they're on the floor outside the ring.
Yeah.
And it's not just like little drops of blood.
Yeah.
It's like it's starting to coagulate.
There is one shot where
there's like chunks of Flair's blood on the ground.
And I think Edge had like speared him through a table, or they both fell through a table. And you see Edge's head, but then you see Flair's head, and he's covered in blood. But then, yeah, like you said, there's like a giant coagulating pool of blood, like a whole other Flair is back there.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely, it's so brutal looking. And Flair is old and just leathery, and it's like, there's no way he should be out there.
No.
But he's doing this, and he's amazing. Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Like by the end of the match, his entire hair is bright red.
And if I'm not mistaken, this was in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the Lita interfered at a certain point because Edge was prone outside. Flair was climbing that ladder, and man, the crowd was so hot. And you actually thought, oh my God.
Yeah.
They might do this.
The announcer made a point of saying, oh, the crowd's chanting 17. 17. Because it would have been the 17th world title reign.
This might actually happen. And of course, Lita interferes and it doesn't happen. This was absolutely fantastic. Oh,
this is interesting. Match.
What's that?
According to Scoop's notes, it's obviously the first TLC match on Raw, but it's also the first singles TLC match.
And the first for
the WWE title.
That's interesting. I like this Scoop's note. Lita looks hot. You knew this, though. I don't really need to know that you're fapping while doing this stuff, Scoops. Really? I don't really need to know.
And there was
engaged now.
Going back to the TLC tropes, someone on the top of the ladder gets pushed off through a table.
Yeah, that's
happened
true.
Here.
Happened here.
Edge goes through a table.
I like this here, too, some notes. I think like when we send Scoops our lists, I think he goes and watches like the entirety of the show.
I know.
It's one of those things probably where he's like, man, I really don't want to do more work right now, so I'm going to watch this show. Because I think you watched the rest of it. It said later in the show, Cena accepted the Master Lock challenge from Chris Masters to try and break his hold. Just as it looked like he might, Edge enter the ring, taunted Cena, and then hit him with the title. Oh, this is awesome, too. Apparently, later on in the show, Vince McMahon starts stripping in his office at one point because he thinks that Candice Michelle had walked in, but it was actually Shelton Benjamin's mama. That sounds fucking gross.
7.
Edge versus Alberto Del Rio versus Rey Mysterio versus Kane TLC 2010. I probably would put this like probably number 10, like a little further down.
Oh, yeah?
It was a good match. It was okay. It wasn't great. Some good spots here. I think this one, the story about this one was that it was a solid match where they made the most of the gimmicks of the gimmick of the TLC match. You know, they had... For example, Rey Mysterio, when he was going to execute a 619 on Edge after he had already done so to
Del Rio,
Edge brought the chair up, and so Rey ended up hitting the chair instead of his head.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were things like that, and this that made it pretty
good. I think this is the first year, I could be wrong, where they used that amazing TLC set, and Rey
used
it to do the crossbody onto Kane, where they had tables on the side
floating around,
and then chairs up in the light trusses, ladders, I believe, too.
Right,
they used it, I think they've used it a couple times. I think in 2012 for the a match we'll get to later, they had the same or similar set, and I always thought it was cool. They had levitating tables, ladders,
levitating
and chairs.
Tables, yeah.
But that spot with Mysterio climbing up the
it was cool,
the table that was suspended, Oh, lunch,
oh, god, bad. Good match. I like this. A Cena versus Wade Barrett in a buried alive, in a chairs match. In a buried by Cena match was after that, where Cena like poured a bunch of chairs all over Wade Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Symbolically burying him.
Exactly. Yeah. I like this scoop note here. Rumor has it that Edge won this. This was his 10th World Heavyweight Championship. Rumor has it that Alberto Del Rio was discussed as a winner and was favored to possibly do so, but he was compensated by winning the 40-man Royal Rumble the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, because Kane walked into this match as champion.
Yeah, which was, you know. Rey Mysterio and Kane, to me, as World Heavyweight Champions, that always symbolized sort of like when I just... I mean, I think we were watching... This was pre-Tree of Woe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we weren't watching when Kane and Rey Mysterio... Like, I had no desire to really watch when Kane was champion. I love Kane, don't get me wrong. I just don't want to see him as world champion. It was Alberto Del Rio's first TLC match. It was Rey's first TLC match.
Was this Edge's final title win before retiring?
I want to say that sounds like it might be right. I mean, he won it or he retained it
at WrestleMania. Yeah,
okay.
I don't know if he lost and got
that. That could be. I know it was back around then. Edge was definitely like sort of Alberto Del Rio's obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like if it wasn't for Edge and it wasn't for CM Punk, Alberto Del Rio would be the greatest champion of all time. Because those two guys always got in his way.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Okay. I like this. Yeah. And this is also the pay-per-view where Cena was systematically taking out members of the Nexus all night long, like hitting Husky Harris, Bray Wyatt, with a chair. At the end, Cena pulls all of the chairs down from the hanging set onto Wade. CM Punk was on commentary for the last match.
Symbolic burying.
Mm-hmm. Burying him. Yeah. Number six.
Six.
John Cena versus Edge, Unforgiven 2006. Again, Scoops notes, I think he watches all of these pay-per-views, like the entirety of the pay-per-view. He says some good matches on this with Johnny Mundo against Jeff Hardy and Trish taking on Lita for her title. Anyways.
The show was in Toronto, Edge's hometown, so the crowd was firmly...
The crowd was behind
the rated R superstar.
Yeah. Because even he said, I believe, let's see, yeah. So Edge had a quote here. He said, I love that match. It was highly emotional for me after being booed all that time from the moment I came back, then being cheered in my hometown and being in a TLC match. So Edge got to slap around John Cena's dad prior to this, like in the storyline leading up to it.
Oh, yeah.
And then Cena's dad was there. And, of course, John Cena won the match.
Yeah.
And hugged his dad afterwards.
The finish was pretty rough looking where there was, I think, two or four tables, either two pairs of tables stacked on top of each other or just two tables stacked on top of each other. And Cena,
yeah,
they're both on the top of the ladder. They're
both on the top, yeah.
And then Cena AAs.
Gives him an FU.
Sorry, back then it was called the FU.
Yeah.
Edge through those tables and then grabs the belt.
Which is a really impressive feat. Like,
yeah.
It's you sort of take Cena for granted for doing that kind of shit. Because he does, but it's like, man, he fucking FU'd or AA'd him from all the way like on top of the ladder. And Cena had this really great moment when he pulls the belt down. Like, man, I had to do some really fucked up things to get this belt. I'm not proud of myself right now. Great little moment. That was interesting that they would have him go in that direction as opposed to some celebration or some, like, you know, battle.
Yeah, he had reservations about what he had reservations about what he had to do to win the match.
Yeah. What is this note here? The dark match was super crazy, beating Shelton Benjamin. Scoops, we told you to take it easy on this list. Just give us the bare bones.
Do they have dark matches?
I don't even know that. this is Edge's first loss in a TLC singles match. Apparently, if Cena lost this, he was going to take a 3-year contract on SmackDown. So he was going to go on to Eclipse Show?
Yeah, I guess so.
But you know what? There's one thing that it's funny because Scoops is a big Edge fan. I wasn't a big Edge fan, but in retrospect, I am. In retrospect,
yeah,
him and Lita looked like a million bucks.
Yeah, that, and then watching these matches, half of which at least involve Edge, the shit he did to put on a show for the fans.
Dude.
Wow.
When you said earlier, you know, he was in like the first singles.
He was in seven TLC matches during the course of his career.
So like evidently after the first couple of big tag TLCs.
Yeah.
You know, and they were going to push him big as a singles guy. They had him do the Ric Flair match.
Yeah.
Hey, you're the new TLC guy.
You're the TLC guy.
Yeah. 4 years later, he's retired.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's no surprise whatsoever after watching these. Like, number one, Edge in like half these matches. And in every single one, he's just getting destroyed.
Yep.
So it's not surprising.
Nope.
Number five.
Five.
Jericho and Benoit. Versus Edge and Christian versus the Dudleys versus the Hardy Boys from SmackDown, May 24th, 2001, the early years of SmackDown. This is considered one of the better matches of those early years of SmackDown. Yeah. It was a fucking hot show, man.
Yeah, yeah.
This was a hot show.
This was the third TLC match ever. Mm-hmm. And the previous Raw, it's pretty well known.
Yeah.
Because Jericho and Benoit captured the tag titles from the
two-man power trip.
And during that match,
Triple H
destroyed his quad.
Thank you. Destroyed
muscle
his quad.
Off the bone.
Muscle off bone. And he finished the match. He allowed himself to be placed in a Walls of Jericho. Or what was it, the other one?
No, Walls of Jericho.
What is the other one he does? I always get those confused.
Lion Tamer.
The Lion Tamer.
The same move, though.
And Triple H allowed himself to be placed into that move even after he had ripped muscle from bone.
Yeah.
On his thigh, right? The quads yeah. the thigh.
Quadriceps.
Which should have been a career-ending move. Anyways, during that match, Chris Benoit, who was hot at the time, and Chris Jericho won those tag team titles. So the next week, there was no actual build to this match.
Like, yeah.
They just announced it. And but it was an amazing match.
I had forgotten how muscular Chris Jericho was back then.
Oh, yeah.
He was huge.
Well, it's hard to remember that because these days he's got like a concave chest.
Yeah.
I think he literally does.
Yeah, I think so, too. Like,
that's a thing. Matt Hardy goes off a table. Yeah, there's all sorts of... There's like... This is 2001. You're going to get unprotected chair shots.
Yeah, there's
the
at least two of them.
Yeah.
Bubba Ray took one and Jericho might have taken one.
Yeah.
There was a spot with Chris Benoit
yes.
jumping off the top rope.
Yeah.
Ends up jumping through a table.
Yeah.
And legitimately hurts himself. Hasn't suffered a neck injury.
Yeah. So Benoit goes to the back and then a little bit later comes back out to finish the match. They go over, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the point of him coming back out. So Benoit comes back out. Now, according to Scoops...
go ahead.
Okay, so according to Scoops, it says Benoit didn't feel too much pain, so he came back and finished the match, but this would later require surgery, and because he kept wrestling up until King of the Ring, he would later miss an entire year.
So probably anywhere between 2 weeks and a month, he kept wrestling with an injured neck.
Yeah.
Because King of the Ring's usually... Well, it's been in May before. Usually May or June, King of the Ring. So I don't know how much longer after this match King of the Ring actually happened.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Benoit, why he was such an amazing pro wrestler, is he would go all out. He would go all
yeah.
out. And he was a fantastic performer. And it's, you know, it's just a shame that he went so all out. And, I've done my fair share of research on what happened with Chris Benoit.
It was a whole month he wrestled with an injured neck.
Jesus Christ. That is fucked up. And, you know, his sister-in-law seems to think that it was just a combination of pressure from, you know, excelling in his industry and shots to the head
yeah.
and drugs all sort of mixed in there to make him go, you know, crazy, basically.
Yeah.
But you know, when you watch Benoit, it's such a shame that his legacy is colored with the horrific thing that he did. Because he is so legit.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him, the entire package of Chris Benoit as a pro wrestler, and you see his face,
yeah.
he's such an ugly dude, but he's always so intense.
Yes.
It's just, I don't know, there was something just so special about him. And this match kind of was, you know, one of many where you can point to and say... Because he sold like nobody else.
Yeah.
And when he comes back out, like he's selling his ribs, like it's
a rib
thing. And he comes out and he's just this destroyed person who's just clawing and fighting.
And I think the first thing he does when he gets back in the ring is starts chopping people.
Yeah, yeah. He goes on a chop fest, yeah.
There's also a great spot during this match where Chris Jericho puts Edge
mm-hmm.
in the walls of Jericho on top of two ladders.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Four.
Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boys versus the Dudleys. The very first TLC match at SummerSlam 2000.
We should say that WrestleMania 2000,
mm-hmm.
the March before,
mm-hmm.
there was a ladder match between these three teams. But of course, tables and chairs were involved.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I don't know if this is 100% true, but I believe that match was the inspiration for an official
TLC match. To be the case, yeah, yeah. Let's see here. Again, Scoops with his weird, like, rest of watching all these pay-per-views. All you had to do is watch the one match, Scoops. He says that Lawler took on Taz, Shane McMahon fought the Lethal Weapon, Steve Blackman, and the Cat versus Terry in a thong stink face match. Yeah. So anyways, let's see here. This was just high spots galore.
Yeah.
I mean, there were the number of times we're sitting here watching it, and you know, we're old and we cringe when we see people just getting annihilated.
Yeah, I mean, back in 2000 when this happened, we probably have been hyped about it.
Well, yeah, I remember being hyped about it.
And then now we watch it and we're just worried about everybody's safety.
Do people in their 20s now, can they watch this and be cool with it?
I don't know.
Because people know, like you guys know, right, that this is fucked up.
Yeah.
This is all fucked up.
Yeah.
Like there was a spot where, so it was Jeff and Devon were both hanging from each of the belts because both belts were hung.
Yeah, the tag belts, yeah.
Yeah. and they were each hanging from him, and they couldn't get the leverage to like bring them down. And Jeff sort of kicks at Devon and kicks him off, and they're suspended, what, 20 feet?
At least 15.
Something like that. And Devon just crashes to the ground, and you see his head just smash, you know? And it's like, fuck.
Well, right after that, too, Edge and Christian take a ladder to Jeff Hardy, who's still dangling.
Yeah.
He falls. He lands on his feet.
Yeah, I know.
Which is a recipe to break a leg.
Well, I don't know. It'd be interesting to ask him if landing this way and sort of crumpling down to
your hip. I know. He didn't land straight and try to stand up. He landed. He landed and instantly fell.
Yeah, and instantly like crumbled. I mean, my thing about this, look, these are all bad.
Yeah.
But that's going to do less long-term damage to your brain.
Oh, I know.
And you're just going to have a hard time walking around.
There's a spot where Bubba...
And here we are 16 years later, and he's still doing shit like this.
There's a spot where Bubba Ray goes through a bunch of tables after getting pushed off the ladder.
Yeah, there you go. It's like we should
and
do
And then also Edge and Christian get the... well, Edge does. Lands Lita, who back then was aligned with the Hardy Boys.
That's right.
Pushes the ladder over.
Deleted.
Edge... Does the legs between the ropes.
Yeah.
So,
tropes. Just all sorts. I know. It's like we have to play, bingo? Where, like, we write down, like, you know, balls on rope.
It's a drinking game.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a drinking game, exactly. But, I mean, it's just amazing. Amazing. I like this here. The spot where Jeff jumps off the ladder on the outside of the two tables. With the Miss Swanton, make so many memorable highlight reels and PSAs about not trying the shit at home. Bubba Ray takes a nasty spot from the... Yeah, okay. Let's see if there's anything else here. So Edge and Christian end up going over. They continue to defend their championships against the Hardy Boys while the Dudleys slowly moved on to a program with the APA after losing the number one contender match.
I like this note here. Watching this, I realize, Scoops, what Edge and Christian meant on Stone Cold's podcast, these first two TLC matches, didn't tell as much of a story as was more of a spectacle. They later tried to put more psychology into it, but always wanted to steal the show no matter what spot they went on.
Yeah.
Well, and then, these first two TLC matches were just spot fest.
It was just spot fest. And they certainly did steal the show. I mean, you were at WrestleMania
2000. Yeah.
And that was the one memory that you really have.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the most memorable match of the whole night.
Yeah.
Three.
The Shield versus Team Hell No and Ryback.
This was the Shield's very first match in WWE.
Yeah.
And they all looked very young. It's only been 4 years. And they all look like they've aged at least twice that.
That's great. I remember this match. You watched this match back. I did not watch this one back.
But I remember watching it when it first happened.
Yeah, no, I know.
Daniel Bryan was super over.
Really?
Super over. Yeah. A lot of yes chants, even though that was during his no phase.
Yeah.
But so many yes chants.
Well, him and that whole thing with him and Kane was so insanely over. Mm-hmm. And that, like, rejuvenated Kane as well. I would love to have heard, like, number one, I want to know if Daniel Bryan and Kane traveled the road together.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, what those conversations were like. Had to have been great, especially because Kane is like a Republican.
I know,
but he's like a super smart guy, so it's probably like just really fascinating conversation between two smart guys. You know what I mean?
It's like an episode of what was that CNN show, Crossfire?
Yeah, exactly.
It's
like that. Oh, I remember that. Remember when civil conversation was a thing?
Yeah,
that was fun.
Scoop mentions this, and I noticed this as well watching this match or rewatching it. This is back when the WWE was all about shaky cam and crash zooms and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So anytime there was fighting outside of the ring, it was distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the camera was going all over the place.
What? Now, and
zooming in and out.
Juxtapose that, contrast that then with now. Has it toned down quite a bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what that's all about.
Kevin Dunn.
Yeah, Kevin Dunn. Oh, by the way, got confirmation from our friendo Joshua Swearingen. By the way, if that's actually his last name, that's amazing. But he clarified Triple H and Stephanie, allegedly, rumor has it, are completely not Kevin.
I saw that,
So Joshua Swain, he's our, like, our new fact checker.
I know.
He's like, he knows his shit, so that's awesome. So yeah, what else about this match? This was first build as...
This was after
how
Ryback.
How over was Ryback over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there was still Goldberg chance.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was setting up Ambrose, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, there's two different spots. He was setting up Ambrose and Rollins to do a double shell shock. And the crowd popped for that. And then when he said, finish it,
mm-hmm.
the whole crowd said, finish it with him.
Yeah.
Or whatever he says. Is that what he said? When he's about to put him in the shell shock.
Probably.
Does that.
Eat it.
Whatever he says.
Feed me this. El Pollo Loco.
The crowd was into it. This was after his feud with Punk.
Yeah. I like this, though. Scoop says, great moment where all three members had ganged up on Ryback near the entrance with chairs looking in charge. I've never been a Ryback fan. Seth takes a pretty crazy table bump after that, though.
Yeah.
Where he fell against several stacked tables and hit his head hard.
Yeah. There was one table. So, like, one table took the brunt of his fall, but there's another table set right next to it that didn't break, and all that hit it was the back of his head.
Yeah.
So that looked bad.
Yeesh. Let's see. I just like that Scoops interjects, I've never been a Ryback fan. Like, he's giving us the action, but then just throws that in there.
He's editorializing.
He is. Let's see. Ryback was allowed to look strong. More Scoops notes. Ryback was allowed to look strong in this match.
Yeah.
As he was still in a feud with Punk. I remember always being distinctly worried that they were going to give Ryback the title.
I know.
I was always so concerned about that.
He's right here about this note that Kane looked the weakest in this match because the last, quarter to third, Roman speared him through the barrier near the timekeeper area.
Yeah.
And there's actually this pretty cool moment where Roman and Seth are standing there looking around trying to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear Seth go, "Bury him!"
Oh, I remember that.
And so they get
that.
A bunch of stuff from around the ring and just toss on top of him. So Seth was the architect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he says it with such passion. It's funny.
That was great.
And then Daniel Bryan eats the pin after getting powerbombed through a table.
Okay.
Off the top rope. It's a good match.
Yeah, sounds fun.
And the pace was frenetic.
Yeah.
Action never let up.
Yeah.
Never.
I'll have to rewatch this one.
Yeah, it was fun.
And then in the comments, Steve, you got to watch it later. Number two.
You have watched it.
No, I know. I know. I have. I know. Just, you know how memory works at this age. Number two. Jeff Hardy versus CM Punk SummerSlam 2009. Now, we watched a bunch of this today, and then we watched it for a book of the match not that long ago.
Yeah.
So this was the Punk as straight edge savior guy. He was.
Well, was he, was this straight edge society Punk?
It was pre straight edge society, but it was high horse heel Punk.
Gotcha.
And so he was laying into Jeff Hardy about
his partying lifestyle.
About his partying lives. A brother Nero, you do too much drugs. You must be deleted.
Your habit must be deleted.
Yeah, exactly. The feud started with Punk cashing in his Money in the Bank case. A couple other matches in between. This is just a really, really good match. I think this was not the main event because then there was that Cena Orton one after this, which is overbooked to hell. No, this was the main event. This was the main event.
Yeah, the Cena Orton one was before. Yeah, that was overbooked to hell. Oh man, that match was awful.
Yeah, this was his first TLC match. What did you say Punk's record in TLC matches were?
Perfect. 3-0.
3-0.
And guess how many Jeff Hardy has won?
Zero. For being so associated with the high spot TLC match.
Yeah.
Never won one.
Never won one.
But it was a really, really good match. I mean, Punk is so good at telling stories.
This is probably one of the, in terms, going back to Edge's statement, one of the previous entries about storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
This match was a really good balance of telling a good story.
Yes, yes.
Having your high spots.
Yeah.
But a good balance between implementing all the tools at one's disposal in a TLC match. There's chair spots, there's table spots, there's plenty of ladder spots.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the other TLC matches, it's mostly just ladders.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of table spots or lot of chair spots.
I liked your comment while we were watching it. You said, oh yeah, I remember this. Thinking to myself, Jeff Hardy looks so over.
Yeah, he was so
over
the whole thing.
Because shortly after this, he left.
Yeah.
I
think Scoops mentioned here, like on an episode of SmackDown shortly thereafter. Oh yeah, they had a loser leaves the company steel cage match.
Right, and Undertaker comes out at the end of this. So Punk goes over, Undertaker comes out and choke slams Punk.
We gotta mention the spot too where Jeff Hardy does a swanton off the 20-foot ladder while Punk's on the announce table.
And on that one, he does look. He looks like he's so over.
He's like, oh, I gotta do this.
Yeah, and it's so high up there, and you're just thinking to yourself, why is he doing this? And then there was the spot where Hardy is up on the top turnbuckle. Punk's prone in the ring looking up at the stars, and Hardy comes off for a swanton, but Punk lifts his knees up, And I'm like, that looks like it fucked everybody up.
Yeah.
Because that can't be good on your knees or your hips.
It's not good on your back.
Yeah.
Even the spot that finished the match where both Punk and Hardy at the top of the ladder, and Punk kicks Hardy a couple times. Hardy falls off the ladder backwards.
Yeah.
That was a stiff bump.
Yeah. Yeah. This had a lot of, it was just, Jeff Hardy was just, he was done.
Yep.
All right. Number one. You ready?
Number one.
Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boys versus Dudley's WrestleMania 17. You were there, Larson.
No, I wasn't. I was at WrestleMania 16.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You're at the
what was the build
father? Yeah,
as a ladder match.
Yeah. So this was the next WrestleMania. This is TLC 2.
Yes.
And 8 months after SummerSlam 2000. And again, it's an absolute spot fest.
Yep. I mean, this is the one where Edge speared Jeff Hardy while Hardy was dangling from the rope that kept the, you know, they're holding the belts over the ring.
Yeah, and you've seen that over and over again.
There's a lot of spots they show, and there's all sorts of run-ins. Rhino gets involved. Spike Dudley. Lita.
Yeah. Jeff Swanton bomb from a huge ladder onto Rhino and Spike on the tables. There's so many high spots. Christian got the belts by being on Rhino's shoulders as he climbed the ladder.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember that. And like you said earlier, Edge has said that they were going for the spots. They were going for the stealing the show.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a whole lot of story to be had here.
Well, here's this interesting quote from Matt Hardy that Scoop's put in here. Matt Hardy says, psychology-wise, TLC 2 was the best of all the big gimmick matches. We were worried that there was nothing we could do that would come close to the previous TLC, but we knew that the run-ins from Lita, Spike Dudley, and Rhino were going to make it a little different. Considering the fact that we had 9 bodies and a bunch of inanimate objects, that match was pretty sound.
I love that, to him, psychology-wise, is just overbooking.
It's just more bodies.
It's just more bodies. People. He says, I know we got all these people coming out, so psychology-wise, it was a really great match. What is this one? Jim Ross. I would suggest that Big Daddy Dudley practice safe sex, but it's too late for that. What in the hell is that? That's great. and this is the classic Jim Ross quote. For the love of God, Jeff Hardy may be broken smack dab in half. Why did they get rid of Jim Ross?
I don't know.
He still commentates. He's still really good. They can still bring him back. Why did they hire Mauro Ranallo when they... Jim Ross.
Jim Ross is the greatest wrestling commentator of all time.
Of all time, and he still can do
all
it.
All time.
He has a podcast. He still does stuff. I think he was doing WCPW shows.
Yeah.
With Jim Cornette. Who doesn't want those two guys on commentary?
Imagine how great it would be if it was JR.
Corey Graves. And Renee Young. Fantastic. All on the commentary.
Fantastic.
Team Fantastic. That'd be great. I love this. I love this, like, these notes right here from Scoops. Some final notes from Scoops.
Yeah.
Never forget that El Torito beat Hornswoggle in a WLC match.
You remember that match?
Kind of. Maybe I don't want to remember it.
Why not?
What?
So why not?
A WLC match?
It wasn't bad.
Edge has the most TLC matches with 5, having been... Oh, he's got the most wins with 5, having been in 7 total. Jeff Hardy has won 0, lost 5, but he won 2 TLC. Is that what they call them in TNA?
No, they're called... Medals in the name. That's all I remember. I can look real fast.
What's the synonym for table?
Wow. What's drawing a blank. Oh, Full Metal Mayhem. That's what they call him in TLC.
That's so dumb.
Or sorry, in TNA.
Full Metal Mayhem.
Scoops has another note here that TLC 4, apparently Bubba Ray got hit so hard he kept trying to call his mother after the match. Problem is, his mother is deceased.
Is deceased. Has passed away. So, yeah. Anyways, we hope you enjoy this. Be sure to leave comments because YouTube loves some comments now. Smash that like button. And but anyways, we do want to know what you guys think in terms of TLC matches. There are, I think, 8 more that we haven't mentioned. If any of those appeal to you guys, let us know.
Yeah.
And let us know what your memories are watching TLC matches because we have a lot of fun memories.
Yeah.
So, yeah, until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.